Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing it's been just being in church this morning. I trust that you have sensed the presence of the Lord in this place, and we do pray all week long. God would use this as a place of refuge, and not only for our church members, but for anyone who would come through the doors. And if that's going to be the case, then you have to know that the Lord is here in our midst with us, and I believe that if you have any kind of a sensor at all on your spirit, you have sensed the spirit, the presence of the Lord here today. Matthew chapter 5. As we're looking back here, and of course, this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount from chapter 5 to chapter 7. And as I've mentioned before, it is God's blueprint for Christianity. The Sermon on the Mount is God's blueprint. If you ever know what you ever want to know just how a Christian ought to live, read the Sermon on the Mount. Just continue to go over that because it is exactly what Christ has given to us concerning the Christian life. And this morning we're looking at verse 14 down to verse 16. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read it, you follow right along with me. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Jesus says to his disciples, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let your light so shine. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning, and we do love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us and for the opportunity that each one that's here had, and that they've taken advantage of the opportunity by coming and being in church today. And thank you for what we've already received. But God, I believe that you have more for us from the preaching of thy word, and I pray that you would just give each and everyone that here to hear. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Let your light so shine. Some might ask, do I have a light? Do I have a light? And if I do have a light, just what is it? Not everyone truly understands that. We know here on the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus, his disciples come unto him, and then he started teaching the truths of heaven. Jesus was teaching them, first of all, that ye are the light. Now this is to his disciples. And he says to them in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. And then with them knowing that they were the light of the world, then he then says, let your light so shine before men. So this is what we know. We know that whatever light is and does, the believer is to be and do. If you study that and you take it literally as we are supposed to take the words of God, then whatever light is and whatever light does, the disciples or the believer is to be and to do. So the first thing that we need to look at here this morning as we're trying to understand exactly what message Christ has given to us, he says, so what is the light? What is the light? The light is mentioned throughout, especially the New Testament, but Old Testament as well. And we go back to the very beginning of when the light was first mentioned to us. And we go back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis in chapter 1 and verse 3, let me just read it to you. In verse 3 it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the first evening and the morning were the first day. So as you go back to the book of Genesis and we're understanding just what this understanding of light is, we know that the sun seems to be the light that is needed for our physical existence on earth, as God was providing a place for humanity to live and dwell. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the earth, and now he's allowing the light to shine on earth. And we understand that if we're going to have a physical existence, then we have to have the sun. The sun is vital to our existence. It impacts more than, the more we learn about it, the more we realize how valuable the sun is and how it impacts human existence. At the very same time, as we understand that, then we go back to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, let me just read these verses to you. Revelation's in chapter 21. It gives us insight into eternity concerning light. And Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, the Bible says this, talking about a new city, Jerusalem, heaven, if you will. The Bible says, and the city had no need of the sun. We need the sun for physical existence, and God revealed that to us, and he gave us light. But now we understand that in heaven, in eternity, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is the light thereof. I don't know about you, but that just caused me to want to just shout for glory. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse or chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says that God is light. Which we can't fully comprehend all of what God is. We have what he has revealed to us of himself. And what God has revealed to us of himself ought to blow your mind. It ought to just say, wow. He was able to create all things. Goes beyond my comprehension to understand how God could just breathe things into existence. And then we find the Bible says that in heaven there's not going to be a physical sun nor a physical moon, a different dimension, and yet we're going to have more light than we've ever had before. Amen. There will never be a night in heaven. There will never be darkness in heaven. That's all this is helping us to better understand this idea of light. In John in chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus came and Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Because as God is light, God came to earth and became a man. Now we have heaven's light on earth. So people can understand the things of God. The people might have somewhat of a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like as he revealed the glory of the kingdom of God. Wow. John chapter 1, I want you to see this. Go ahead and turn there with me. John chapter 1. Says much about Jesus coming, how he was there in the beginning and nothing was created without him creating it. So we know that Jesus is God. Now he came to the earth and he is the light of the world as God as a man. But it says something in verse 9 that we might overlook from time to time if you read this about the light. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 9, speaking of Jesus Christ, that was the true light. Not John the Baptist, but Jesus is the true light. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Physical world. In order for man to have an existence, God had to give him life. Outside of God, there is no human existence. You got your thinking caps on, right? Amen. Without God, there is no life. None. And what sets man apart from any animal life is the light that Jesus shined on each one that cometh into the world. He lighteth every man that cometh into existence, into the world. Human life, therefore, represents light. An eternal spirit. An eternal soul. That's what separates humanity from every other life form. Every child, the Bible says, children are heritage of the Lord. Psalms 127:3, that means that life comes from God. Yeah. Every light, every human spirit, every human soul is unique. Somewhat different. Everyone in this auditorium right now, you're unique. There's only one of you. Some we think, praise the Lord for that. Yeah. I don't know that we can have two of any, of some anyway. But everyone's different. Everyone's unique. And God gave each one of us life. And God loves each one in a unique way. For God so loved the world, that means all humanity around the world, before they came into existence, Jesus gave them a light, a life to do something with, an opportunity to live. If we go back now, I give you a little insight into what the Bible has revealed to us about light. We go back now and we look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Jesus was addressing disciples. Now what's the difference between just a human being, a man, a woman, a child, and a disciple? The difference is, everyone, when they were born into this life, in the womb, God has given them light on everyone that comes into the world. So God has given each one of us life. But at the same time that God has given each one of us life, we are born of Adam, and because of Adam's sin, we are born with a sin nature, which is a separation from God. We have a life, but when we begin this life, we are separated from God because we are born with a sin nature. The book of Romans very clearly reveals that, because we're all descendants of Adam. And that sin nature has been passed down from Adam to all humanity. We still have light, but it's just an existence. It's a life that you will live on planet Earth. Now Jesus is addressing his disciples. The difference between just a person that has life and a disciple is the disciple has received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You believed in God. You believed in Jesus Christ as being the Savior of the world. You understood that he went to the cross of Calvary to pay a sin debt that we owed and could not pay ourselves. And when you realize that you were lost in need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ was a Savior, you believe that and you called upon the name of the Lord and he saved you. When he saved you, something happened. He came inside of you and sealed you to the day of redemption. Jesus inside of us is what a disciple is. So now not only do you have the physical life of humanity that has an eternal spirit and an eternal soul, but now you have the light of the eternal God living in you. And because of that, Jesus said to his disciples who had received him, ye are the light of the world. Exactly what the world needs. You have God's light in you. And God's light in us, if you truly have it, it's a game changer. It'll make you different. Matter of fact, that's what he says. And as he has Paul write to the church at Corinth and in 2 Corinthians, a verse most of us know very well, but I want to read to you 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, or if you will, if Christ be in you, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of letting your light shine, or of reconciliation. God's light in us makes us different. Every individual is different to start with. Every individual has a unique light. God's light is the same. If you're saved here this morning, you have the very same light from God in you that I have in me. The one thing that connects us as born-again believers, as the children of God, is we have something that has come up, disconnects us, because we're all in and of ourselves unique and different. But the thing that brings us together is that God's light in you is the same. A person that gets saved in Africa has the very same light of God in them as I have in me. The same person that gets saved in Russia, and what a blessing it was to be in Russia and hand out somewhat, our group handed out 40,000 New Testament and Romans Bibles, amen, in the Russian language. I was able to lead several to the Lord in Russia. And every soul that got saved in Russia, they had the very same light that I have in me and that you have in you. We are different in and of ourselves, but when you get saved, we have the very same light in us. Because the Bible says, I am the Lord, and I change not. No matter who he goes into, he's the same. We have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same indwelling Holy Spirit. We have the same Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he hadn't changed. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:20, the scripture is of no private interpretation. It's the same for all. No matter who you are, whether you're in Asia, whether you're in Africa, where you're in the Americas, listen to me, when you get saved, God's word applies to you the very same way that it applies to anybody around the world. There's only one God. There's only one Savior. There's only one light of God. But every believer has a distinctive light. Did you get that? Listen, this is important. Now, my wife would tell you, I love to variety. In foods, I like to see what what it tastes like to put this food with that food. Now, my wife is completely opposite. She has to have everything individually separated. And I'm thinking, it all goes to the same place anyway. Get it. Let's enjoy the flavors together. Boring to eat one food at a time and just, come on. When you have all of that flavor right there and put it all together. Now, sometimes it doesn't work, but most of the time it does. Yeah. I do the same thing with my drinks. I love lemonade. I buy a big thing of lemonade, and then I will take different flavors of Gatorade or ice or whatever it might be, and I will mix them. I'll take half of maybe a fruit punch, and I'll take the other half of the same lemonade. My favorite is the lemonade, but sometimes I like variety, so I put a little lemonade, which is the same, into the fruit punch, and that makes a unique drink. Then I'll get an orange Gatorade. I put the same lemonade into that orange, and that makes a unique drink. Everyone has a different flavor, but I put the same, what I like the most, I put that which is going to make it what I enjoy, the lemonade in it, and the lemonade stays the same, but the other flavors give me a unique combination. You are a unique combination. I think God loves different flavors, amen? Yeah. So what I do is biblical. He's the lemonade. He doesn't change. But you mix him with a fruit punch, different, a little bit different, even though he doesn't change, than that which when he mixed it with orange or lime. That's the world. That's this church. God's the same. We all have the very same commandments. We all have the same accountability. We all have the same God, even though we're all different. What is light? It is who you are mixed with who God is. That's your light. That's your light. What is it supposed to do? Go back with me, our text. What's it supposed to do? Now, you are the light. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus is getting across. You are the light of the world. You're in the world. The world needs you. You are the light of the world. If you're saved, you are the light. Every one of us has a unique existence. God has a purpose for each one. Verse 16, what's it supposed to do? You're supposed to let it shine before men, that they may see your good works. And ultimately, this is what it's supposed to do. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. We establish good works. What is that? A Christian testimony. No matter where you're at, Russia, China, Africa, United States, the very same thing is what you're supposed to do with your light when it's mixed with God's light. Establish a Christian testimony. Wherever you're at, that's your purpose. At home, possibly one of the most important places to establish a Christian testimony is in your own home, your church, your place of employment, your neighborhood, your school. What you're supposed to do, good works. And with those good works, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. God has a designed plan for each one of us. and our light. What light does, light reveals what is there to be seen. Have you ever think that you knew what was there and you left the light off until you stubbed your toe? Because you didn't realize your child forgot to put up the tank that he had playing with. You can't see it. You can't avoid it. Darkness is something that we have to avoid. Light reveals what is there to be seen, and it overcomes darkness. Darkness cannot overcome light. The darker it is, the more the light will shine bright. I could light a candle up here right now, and you would be able to see it, but it would not be very bright in an auditorium this size. But if I could leave the candle lit and shut off all the lights and block off all the light coming in, can I tell you, it would shine bright. One little candle. You ever been to Mammoth Cave or inside a cave and all the lights are out and they just light one little candle? And it's unreal how it will, the brightness of that light in the midst of total darkness. God designed that. God designed that. God's light. There is no darkness in heaven. There is no night in heaven. And God's presence is nothing but light on earth. The need for light helps us to realize the darkness that's here. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus teaching, he says, and this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world. This is actually what condemns man. And men love darkness. They rejected the light. Jesus came as the light and they rejected him. They crucified him. So many reject the light because they love darkness. And this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, you want the truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The book of Acts, as God, Jesus, had called the apostle Paul, and he gave him instructions on what he wanted him to do, it helps us to understand that as Paul was that light, and each and every one of us are the light. And these are some of the very same instructions that we need to accept as a Christian today. In Acts in chapter 26 and verse 15, the Bible says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. This is right after Paul got saved, or that led him to get saved. And then, but rise, he said, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, the purpose of light, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things that which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wow. That's the purpose. That is what we're supposed to do. Can I tell you this morning, there's a great spiritual and moral darkness possibly like we've never faced before in America. It's crazy what's taken place in our country concerning our president, concerning religious liberties in America. There's always been darkness, severe darkness in most of the world, but there is coming to America today. If you're saved, you have the light that the world needs. See, the problem in America is not the darkness. It's always been there. It's the lack of light that's letting in the darkness. That's allowing the darkness to prosper. If we have more light, the light repels the darkness. Ye are the light. Let your light. It's unique. You're going to be around people that might not have another light to look to. You're going to be able to take a stand as a parent, raise your children to be a light. Not only as an individual, but as a church, we need to be a light. I love Lighthouse Baptist Church. Back in the beginning, we almost named this church the Upper Room Baptist because we started in an upper room. But we knew that we would not always be in that upper room. And the one thing that we would always be is a lighthouse. And for some 33 years, we just want to let our light shine. As individuals, we ought to want to let our light shine. As a church, this world, our United States, need more lighthouses than what they've ever needed before. We must realize we are the light. And we ought to be willing to do what God has given the light to do. Glorify our Father, which art in heaven. Ye are the light. Let your light so shine. If I could have ever head bowed. You have a unique light in your home. Your children need to see it. They don't need the light of the world. They need to have the light of Christ. Your place of employment, you have a unique opportunity to take the light of God to your place of employment. You have the unique opportunity to take your light to your school, to your neighborhood. It's what God would have us to do. Let it shine. Oh, let it shine. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for this powerful truth that you were teaching your disciples and that you have preserved for us as your disciples in this 21st century. And I pray, God, that we would realize that we have a light, a unique light. And your will for our lives is to let it shine. Help us. Strengthen us to do all that we can do to promote the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless now in this invitation, in Jesus' name.